And in your Bibles, please turn to Numbers 25, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 13. And today's passage is one of those passages that when you do a Bible reading plan, it sometimes you get embarrassed. It's like, is that really in the Bible? And do we really say these words out loud? And one of the things I want you to see as we read this passage, what I want you to hear is that God understands life on planet Earth. God understands your life, my life, what we face. So Numbers 25, verses 1 to 13. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate the sacrificial meal and bowed down before these gods. So Israel yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of these people, kill them and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to Israel's judges, "Each of you must put to death those of your people who have yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor." Then an Israelite man brought into the camp a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and followed the Israelites into the tent. He drove the spear through both of them, right through the Israelite man and into the woman's stomach. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped, but those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. The Lord said to Moses, "Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites. Since he was zealous for my honor, he was as zealous for my honor among them as I am. I did not put an end to them in my zeal. Therefore, tell him I am making a covenant of peace with him. He and his descendants will have a covenant of a lasting priesthood because he was zealous for the honor of his God and made atonement for the Israelites." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sort of hard to say thanks be to God for a reading like this, isn't it? Now, I'm not sure about you. Well, let me ask you. How many of you get more excited about starting something new rather than finishing a task? Who likes to start new things, even if some of the old things aren't done? A few of you, okay. Who likes, no, I'm not going to start until I'm done, and checking off that box is just one of those almost sacred moments for you. Who likes finishing more than starting? We've got more finishers in here. Well, this is well designed for you then. I tend to be the starter kind of guy, and some of you can say, yeah, we know about Billy. But we can see in Scripture how people start things, but they don't finish. Do you find in your relationship with God that it's easier to finish and follow through? Or do you find yourself seeing if you can get an exit before the end of the line? See, the Israelites, we've watched them avoid being cursed, right? This pagan king has invited Balaam the prophet, this pagan seer, to curse them. Remember this, what we've looked at the last several weeks? And every time he asks Balaam to curse them, Balaam ends up blessing the people of Israel, because those whom God has blessed, no one can curse. No one can curse. Well, what we see here, and it's actually tied to chapter 31, that's why I have it up there, that Balaam, while he wasn't able to curse the people of God, he found their weakness. And it wasn't in God, it was in themselves. See, we can set all sorts of resolutions going into the new year. Some of you are resolution makers. Some of us are resolution breakers. We can set them all up. And like Israel, we are our own worst enemies. We can come up with all sorts of excuses and reasons why other people caused us to not finish well. Or that the circumstances just, the market changed and what could we do? Or I lost my job, or the person that means so much to me moved away. We can come up with all sorts of reasons, I call them in my life excuses, where I didn't finish. And more often than not, like me, we are our own worst enemies. See, as we have been saying over the last several weeks, absolutely nothing can stop God from blessing his people. If he has in mind that blessing is coming for you in a particular way, there's absolutely nothing and no one can get in the way. And I hope that that's increased your faith as we've been thinking about that, that there is absolutely nothing, no power outside can derail God's plan for your life. But, can you read that with me? But our sin will bring his judgment and discipline. Our sin will bring his judgment and discipline. See, what started for the Israelites as complaining and grumbling and questioning, remember in the desert, that's what they've been doing since the moment they got out of Egypt. They're complaining, God, where's the good food? Is this manna again? Where's our water? We're all going to die. They complained over and over and over and over again. And you might think, well, those are just words. Maybe I complain a little bit. Well, maybe I complain a lot. God is good. He wakes me up and I come back and I ask for forgiveness. And I know he's not abandoned me. He abandoned me. But here, just as all that generation that was going to die before they entered the land, just as they are dying, literally, Israel is on the doorstep of the promised land. They're ready to go in to receive this land of milk and honey. They're just getting ready to receive God fulfilling his promises. They pull this. It's outright rebellion, idolatry, and disobedience. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women. And that's bad enough, because you've got the immorality and the crossing of races. So that's bad enough. But they had invited them to the sacrifices of their gods. And the people ate the sacrificial meal and bowed down before the gods. So these men got a meal. Wasn't free. They got a meal, they got immorality, and they got another god. In their minds, maybe one that would give them what they want. See, what starts as complaining, if we're not careful, leads to an exchange where we actually look at how other people live, at where other people get their strength, and say, well, maybe I'll do that. God doesn't seem to give me what I want when I want it. So maybe I'll make the exchange. And we can look at this and say, wow, that's so bad that they did this. And it is. But what about us? How frequently do our complaints end up leading us down the road where we actually stop obeying, stop doing the hard thing, stop seeking Christ, and just do what everybody else is doing? That's all they did. They just assimilated into what the people around them are doing. Right now, could you turn to the back of your bulletin and write down where you are being tempted to become just like everybody else. Go ahead, just take a moment. Where are you being tempted? Where are you being your own worst enemy? See, what no supernatural power can do against God's people, our sin and disobedience can do. I and you, in the short term, can actually thwart the purposes of God. Not ultimately, but you and I have the capacity as human beings to actually stop the goodness of God from getting to our families, getting to our neighbors, getting to people that we're going to run into. God will get his way. Again, he is good and he's going to get his way. But in between his accomplishing his will, you and I have tremendous dignity to actually inhibit the power of God, the grace of God, the peace of God in our lives. So you look at your life. What do you do? How do you respond to the shameful disobedience against God that's all around you? What do you do? How do you react to the world around us? Because if you haven't figured it out, the world around us isn't exactly running full speed to God. So how many of you are shocked and offended? You're shocked and you're just, I can't believe it. And you're barely catching a breath. There's just so much to offend you. And you're just like, what do I do? What do we do? The world is so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. Some of us are shocked. Some of us, not so shocked. We're a little tolerant and accepting. It's just the way it is. And, you know, maybe I should try it. So that's what the men of Israel did. There's a third option, and that's being outraged and then opposing it, like Phineas. We'll come to him in just a second. See, when it's all going on around us, when we're feeling a pull away from God, when we're being tempted, we can stay shocked and offended. We can be tolerant and accepting. Neither of the first two are really God's will. I mean, we are to be outraged. I know sometimes it feels like we'll always be outraged if we allow that to happen. But we do need to embrace it. Do you pray about our country? Do you pray about our world, or do you just can't handle it? It's too big for me. Not too big for God. Too big. I'll tell you one that I am tempted to just be overwhelmed by and stick my head in the sand. When I think about trafficking, human trafficking. Does anyone else just feel sometimes just, what can I do about that? I don't know anybody that's involved with this. But what, is there anything I can do? How can I oppose this? And it's easy just to throw up our hands and quit and to stop being out and just accept that that's just the way it is. I'm grateful because there are ministries even in Fresno that are working to rescue young girls and boys out of their, I'll call it imprisonment. And there are small things we can do, but it really begins with an outrage, with an unwillingness to just, it is what it is. It is, but it better not stay that way. For followers of Christ, there's something more, and we must stand against unrighteousness. But let's not think so much about out there. Let's talk about us. How can we resist temptation and worship Christ alone? And by worship, I'm not talking about Sunday mornings. I'm talking about life. All of life, 24/7, offering ourselves to him. How do we do it? The passage that I'm referring to, you're familiar with, you don't have to turn to it, is Luke 4, 1 through 12. This is Jesus' temptation. First thing we need to have clear is that we've got to resist our appetites. I mean, the evil one offered Jesus, here, just take the rock, make it bread. You can do that. You're the Son of God. Some of us, our greatest temptation comes in the form of our appetites. Just, oh, tzad avim. I just got to have that. And we can't exercise self-control. We can't resist. And we just go into it. It could be material things. It could be sensual things. It could just be, I have no self-control and I just have to do what I want. Well, others of us, it's not so much our appetites, but it's our ambitions. Remember what Satan offered Jesus? Showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You can have it all. And I'll give it to you. All you have to do is bow down. Your ancestors did it. Why shouldn't you? You could have it all, Jesus. And some of us just have high ambitions. And we feel sometimes as if God is the one getting in our way. You don't have to raise your hands if you've ever felt that way. Because both mine will go up for all of us. But God has his way and his time. And we have to bring our ambitions before him and say, Lord, if a cross precedes the crown, as it did in Jesus' case, your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. And we've got to resist our ambition. And then he said, jump. Just jump, and everybody will know. Everybody will know, and they'll finally approve you as the Messiah. Some of you, no temptation as far as appetites. Some of you, nope, you're surrendered. You've surrendered your ambitions to the Lord, no problem. However, when it comes to pleasing others or getting the approval of others, that's just a hunger that can never be quenched for you. You just, if this person pats me on the back or this person gives me the thumbs up or if this person writes the email or a text that says good job, then all of a sudden we're somebody. No, I don't deal with that at all. Uh-huh. You may have different levels where each of these temptations come at you, but in each one, we're our own worst enemy. Which one is yours? Go ahead and turn to the back of your bulletin and write down the one that most applies to you. Okay, let's move through this now quickly, and we need to learn from Israel's example. You might be wondering, by the way, why have we spent all this time in the Hebrew Scriptures? Why all this time in the Old Testament? It's because the New Testament emphasizes over and over and over again that what's happened in the past is for our instruction. So we're going to read together from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Please join me if you'd like to read out loud. Paul writes, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." He desires something better for us. How can we follow Israel's example? Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. That's the quote that comes out of the golden calf incident when Moses was up on the mountain and they decided to have a switch gods and get a golden calf. Continues, we should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes, and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. Literally, he's just gone through the book of Numbers. This is everything that we've been looking at, and he's saying these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things. And then the passage closes out, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. See, we're our own worst enemies. If we're going to finish, whether it's the year or the season of our lives we're in right now, or our lives, if we're going to finish well walking with Christ, we've got to look and say, we're being tempted. And we've got to be really careful. But, I mean, what kind of promise? I don't have the verses listed there, but verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted but beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. As we finish 2018, as we look forward to 2019, we have to have this firmly in mind that yes, the world around us is going to tempt us, but that can't get to us. I'm my own worst enemy, but in the face of me and my impending failure or my impending sin, God says, I've got this. Greg, I've got a way out. You've got to stand up under it. You've got to endure it, but there's a way out. There is a way out, and he is committed to showing that to you. It's not all on you. It's not on you to figure things out and to somehow resist in your own strength. The Holy Spirit is here, and he is with you to give you the grace and strength to resist. So, are we shocked and offended? Are we tolerant and accepting? Are we outraged and ready to oppose? Let's assume we're going to pick the last one. Just humor me for a moment. We're going to be outraged and we're going to oppose. So let's think about Phineas. He saw what was going on, grabbed a spear, and he killed the Israelite man and the Moabite woman. The Midianite woman. Be outraged. And sometimes, in your opposition to those who oppose Christ, you are going to have to separate from them. Okay, sometimes you're just going to have to say, nope, can't do this. In Corinthians, it speaks of an unequal yoke. You heard the word yoke being used here in verse 3. So Israel yoked themselves with Baal, which is the demon of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. You and I have to be careful about the relationships that we're in. And some of them, we're just going to have to say, nope, can't do this. I don't get to walk side by side with you. I am going to have to separate, because if I'm not careful, I'm going to become just like them. Make a note of this passage and read through it and reflect on it in your life. Are you in relationships that are sending you in the wrong direction? Sometimes you do. You have to separate from them. And And some of you are saying, when do I get to pick up the spear? Some of you hear about Phineas and you go, oh yeah, this is good. Are you handing them out after church? Do I get my own spear? Do I get to take out some of these sinners? Well, let's just think for a moment. What did Jesus say about handling those who are enemies of his Father? Remember what he said? That means I don't get to take my spear? He said, love them. He said, pray for them. He said to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute. The person that you are most angry at because maybe they're doing something you wish you could do, but you're not going to because you're faithful to Christ. The person you're most angry at because they're leading so many people astray. And I'm not talking about the person on your computer screen. I'm not about the person in your life that you struggle with most because they oppose Christ. Is the back of your bulletin still in front of you? Go ahead and write their name down. I don't see too many pens or pencils moving. Leave the spear behind. Leave the bitterness behind. Leave your anger behind. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. That's what James says. Love your enemies. Pray for those who oppose the gospel. That's our responsibility. That's how we channel our outrage. That's how we oppose the evil that is in our world. 2019 may not be any easier on Christians throughout the world. But I'll tell you, as I was working on this message, what came to mind over and over again are our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church. See, they're the ones who are actually suffering and dying for our faith. And their response is, pray for us that we'll be able to love our guards. Pray for us that we'll be able to demonstrate respect for the people that are persecuting us. Pray for us that we'll be able to love our children's teachers when they teach them to deny Christ. Pray for us that we could love our enemies and faithfully pray for those who persecute us. This is what our Turkish brothers and sisters are asking of us. That's what they're doing. And so, yes, we're our own worst enemies. So let's seek God for grace to resist, whether it's our appetites, our ambitions, or our approval seeking. And then let's listen. Do we need to separate? Maybe, maybe not, but you for sure, I for sure, need to love and pray for those who would be opposing Christ. Happy New Year. Amen. Please stand. Receive our benediction. And don't forget to grab the Bible reading plans, the little packet about how you can maybe find more time to read your Bible, and the apologetics and the prayer sheet. So please receive the benediction. May the God of all grace, the one who gives us grace, the one who gives us strength to resist all the temptations that come to us in the world around us, may this God strengthen you from the inside out so that more and more you're less of an enemy to yourself. Yevhima merded, Jesus Christos ishnorka, horas zosera, yasurpok vuin harotaxotuna, mer amen in hedala. Amen.